Winston going for it all for the end zone for Tillman. He's got it!
This is their bread and butter.
Playing to the scouting report, and it's effective. Touchdown, Eagles!
Lot of texts. It's archery season and muzzle loader season.
Oh,
Doran.
Okay.
I'd like to fire a bow and arrow. It probably isn't like that, though. You probably like a crossbow kind of deal with the bolts in it and not an arrow like your Robin Hood.
I don't know.
Or that dude with the long blonde hair in Lord of the Rings who's always arrow shooting.
Yeah.
Not a Lord of the Rings guy?
Nope.
Oh.
You watch the Olympics?
Legolas is his name. Yeah, I watch the Olympics.
Yeah, they still shoot those arrows.
Yeah, we're talking about hunting. It's a different thing.
Right.
You could talk with arrows.
They have wrestling in the Olympics, too. You're not going to double leg a deer in the middle of the woods.
Right.
You could if you had the confidence.
Sidney Crosby not shooting slap shots at the head of deer. It's irrelevant. It doesn't make sense. It has nothing to do with it.
I do wonder if it's a crossbow or if it's just like a regular bow and arrow. Text in, please.
I'm sure we'll get zero text on this. 412-928-9370. Texter, yes, bow season is in for deer hunting. Okay, I don't know that that helps. Anyhow, moving on. The Ravens lose, oh my gosh, to the Cleveland Browns. Their defense, Doran, stinks. And I don't know that Jameis Winston's good, but he threw for over 300 yards, threw three touchdowns, including the game winner we just heard there. And the Steelers now are in a position that I don't know that a lot of people had them in coming into the year. And that's if you win tonight in a game where you are a 6-point favorite against a team that's not very good, in a circumstance where you never lose on Monday night at home, you are 6-2 in sole possession, something like that, of first place in the AFC North. Doran, you got to win tonight. You had to win anyway. If the Ravens won, you're just trying to keep up. But now, going into the bye, a game up, whenever right after the bye you get Washington, we'll talk about them later because they had a miraculous victory yesterday, and then you get the Ravens after that. Dude, you're in position to be in position. Let's go!
I mean, you could kind of see it, too. I mean, you I think you called it. You're like, watch the Ravens, or watch the Browns now with Jameis Winston actually make some noise, and you kind of felt like that was going to happen. I mean, Jameis Winston looked like an actual competent quarterback out there, way better than clearly Deshaun Watson, and he goes out there and he dices up the Ravens defense. The Ravens defense looked terrible, like you said.
It's not good.
They dropped a couple picks. I mean, they just looked like they weren't even engaged in the football game. And then you got the Bengals getting basically routed by the Eagles. And then you hear Joe Burrow after the game saying that, you know, I think that 10 wins can get us in still. So they're hanging on by a thread. If you're the Steelers, you don't want to pay attention to any of this, clearly. You guys know football speak and football talk, and if you just go out there and win football games, and tonight is another opportunity, as you just routed off that stat since, what, 1992, you said?
That's right.
You know, you win on Monday Night Football, so if you're the Steelers, you're feeling pretty good about where you're at right now. Go to the bye week, hopefully, after this game tonight, and get healthy guys back, and this is not just to me, and I'm a must-win. It's a must dominant one.
Mm.
It has to be like last week or even better for me, for us to feel comfortable about where the Steelers are at. You have to go and dominate this football team. They stink.
I'm with you on that because I watched the Cowboys last night and they're not very good and you lost to them.
Uh-huh.
You watch the Colts and their game. I mean, they're okay. They're competitive, but you lost to them in a game that was really frustrating because you never really gave yourself a chance.
The backup quarterback. I mean, that's Joe Flacco, but
it's dicing you up.
Yep.
And then you watch the Jets lose to the New England Patriots yesterday. And a lot of the positivity last week came not just because the Steelers played a dominating brand of football, but they did so against a team that even though they were, 2-4 coming in, they still had all that star power. Well, that win looks less impressive. And for all the naysayers last week, and I think more people were excited than not, but for all the naysayers last week, well, you beat the Jets. The Jets aren't that good. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The Jets are a dysfunctional mess. They're not that good. New England's coach called them soft last week, and they come out, and they wind up beating the Jets this week. So, yeah, I agree with you, Doran. Like, part of me, at least. Like, just get the win so you are 6-2. But if you want to keep this positive momentum, if you want people to really believe that this year is going to be different, then don't just take care of business and win at home, but take care of business in the way that you engineer victory, to quote Mike Tomlin. Go out there and dominate a team. Hey, I had a beat writer on Friday for the Giants, and they're an interesting club to me, Doran, because you got Dexter Lawrence in the middle, who's got 9 sacks, who's 340 pounds listed. He might even be bigger than that. And yet, their run defense is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, and yet they give up more big plays in the passing game than any team in the NFL. Something's not adding up here for the Giants. They've got good personnel, yet you can run on them. They've got a great pass rush, yet you can throw on them. It's pretty much pick your poison, except the other way.
Uh-huh.
You should be able to throw it on them. You should be able to run it on them. You should be able to pour it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, clearly their back end is terrible.
Yeah. You know, huh, interesting, yeah. Front seven good, yeah. Back half not so good.
Yeah, run game, you know, stopping the run not so good, but...
They do create a lot of negative plays in the running game, defensively. So I guess once you get past that first level, they're not tackling all that good.
Mm-hmm. So I expect the same game plan as last week. We talked about it. And, you know, Steelers wanted to throw the ball to set up the run to close the game out. It'll be the same exact game plan. It should be. Except for Russell Wilson may be, you know, the rust may still be there a little bit, but it'll come back even faster. Maybe the first series might not look great, and we'll be like, oh, Steelers not getting off to a fast start. Here we go again. But that second series, Russ will be like, all right, I got it. I'm not saying that he's going to start off guns blazing. I still think that there's some rust that he's going to need to knock off, but it'll get knocked off quicker than it did last week.
There is an injury, a couple of them, but there's one that we're going to get into coming up at 6:35, which sort of came out of nowhere and might affect the game plan in this one. And maybe moving forward, we'll get into that. I agree with you. A lot of throw early, maybe to run late. Is Najee Harris going to go over 100 yards for the third consecutive game? That's a storyline we're paying attention to. I don't know how much to make of this. Steelers are a dominant second-half team, plus 68, point differential, the best in the NFL. You look at the Giants. They're giving up a ton of points in the first quarter, and they're not scoring a lot. And then they're getting dominated in the fourth quarter. So it might not be super sexy early, but can the Steelers win this one going away? And you're at home, and the crowd should be a factor. This ain't a game you should lose. And Vegas agrees. I have a question for you. Are the Steelers better than the Ravens? Let's get to it. Let's get to it when we come back.
Take a little time.
Take some time to think about it.
Let it breathe.
Yeah. Suck on that. I don't know what I'm going there.
Oh, no. Massage it out.
Suck on that. Chew on that for a minute or two, and we'll come back. Because I watched the Ravens yesterday like we all did, and, you know, the stat line for Baltimore looked like a game they should win. Like, Derrick Henry ran the ball well. I mean, he didn't go over 100 yards, but averaged 6-plus yards a carry. Lamar was throwing it all over the place. Thank you to Kyle Hamilton for dropping the most gift wrap interception of all time. That would not happen for a Pitt linebacker, I'll tell you that. Are the Steelers better than the Ravens right now?
Did you see, real
suck
quick,
on it.
Suck on that. Did you see, I don't know if this was after this game. It was at some point this season, but Zay Flowers was on an airplane sitting next to Kyle Hamilton. He said, you got hands like a snake. I've seen better hands on a snake.
He's a hell of a player, this Kyle Hamilton. Dude, the problem is you got to catch the ball. You catch the ball, you win. And Jameis just lollipopped it right in there. Thank you, Kyle. Hands like snake. Hamilton. All right, are the Steelers better than the Ravens? Let's dive into it. When we come back.
Winston going for it all for the end zone for Tillman. He's got it!
So it was my daughter's birthday yesterday, and we had a big old family birthday party, and then people came on over to the house afterwards, and we were watching the game, and you would have thought the Steelers were playing with the big pop we gave to that touchdown from Jameis Winston. Just a bunch of Steelers fans in a basement rooting for the Brownies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to do that because they're sitting there at 1-6. And now the Ravens are 5-3, and it's a simple question. We've had time to chew on it, to suck on it, 412-928-9370. Are the Steelers better than the Baltimore Ravens? I'm going to make a case for yes. I don't know if I believe it, but I'm going to make the case. The Ravens have the worst defense in the NFL.
Dude, number one?
They're 26th in points allowed. They are 32nd in pass defense. So they have the worst pass defense in the NFL. But they're giving up a ton of points. They're giving up a ton of yards. Now, offensively, they're first in yards and points. The Ravens are. So their offense right now is the best in the National Football League. I don't know if this has been updated. Obviously, the Lions are putting up a lot of points, too. But they're right there. Ravens, one of, if not the best offenses in the NFL, and maybe the best offense that the Ravens have had in the Lamar Jackson era. But their defense is horrific. Meanwhile, the Steelers average offensively, 16th in the league in points. And then you look at the Steelers' defense, second in points allowed, eighth in yards allowed. They're right up there in takeaways. They get after the quarterback. So the Steelers' defense, really good. Steelers' offense, average. Ravens' offense, really, really good. Defense, really, really bad. So I think you can make the case the Steelers are at least a more well-rounded team than the Baltimore Ravens. They got multiple ways, weirdly as it is to say, the Steelers got multiple ways to beat you. The Ravens basically have to outscore you right now.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely are balanced. But I think it really comes down to, like, do you think that the Steelers' defense is better than the Ravens' offense? Or do they just have to be better than the Ravens' offense one or two games? So at first I was like, no, they're not. They're not better than the Ravens. But now that I think through it, one game, I might take the Steelers' defense against the Ravens' offense.
Well,
which is crazy, but I would.
That's how I feel about the Ravens all the time,
right?
Is the Steelers have beat them 7 out of 8 times. Now, some of that's Lamar not being there, but they've largely played well against Lamar in his career. They've always game-planned well for Lamar, like you're saying. And so, if the Steelers take care of business tonight, it's so big because you feel like the Steelers are going to get the Ravens at least one time. You want a little bit of breathing room between you and them. And the Ravens just lost a division game, which, you know, that's going to affect you in the tiebreakers. You'd like to think the Steelers could beat the Browns twice. We'll see how this all goes with Jameis Winston. I still don't think they're a good football team. But if you can have a little bit of breathing room between you and Baltimore and you take care of business at home, I mean, the Steelers could be up on them 2 games, you know, 3 weeks from now, which would be massive. Are the Bengals done at 3-5?
I would never, like, count them out, but, like, they're not a threat.
Yeah.
They could be a threat, like a thorn in the Steelers' side. Like, hey, they're out of it. We know that they're not going to make the playoffs, and we know that they're not going to make any noise, and then they, like, beat the Steelers. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Like,
this team, they could definitely beat them.
Right, exactly. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of how I look at the Bengals. They're kind of, like, pesty. Or, you know, they could be. Whenever the Steelers, like, have their sights on, you know, we're talking, like, right now. If the Steelers do this, if they do that, look where they'll be. They'll be, you know, North champions. But then the Bengals, like, beat them in a game where they should win or something.
Every time Joe Burrow walks on the field, they're going to have a chance to win.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. But they got their doors blown off yesterday by another team that I thought was, you know, a sheep in wolf's clothing. I'm not a huge believer in the Eagles. They're warming up to it. What do you like?
No. Just keep going.
Sheep in wolves' clothing. They're doing. We're doing a lot of animal talk this morning.
Right.
There seems to be this, like, national discourse on the Bengals. Oh, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
It's getting too late. It's getting dark early.
It is getting dark early. Bang! There's another analogy. I just don't think they're that good. Well, we talk about the Ravens' defense being bad because it is. The Bengals' defense is bad. It's real bad. They were a favorite yesterday at home against the Eagles. They lose by 20 points. That's not a good football team. Could they make the playoffs? Sure. But like you said, it gets dark early. They got the Raiders next week. You should beat the Raiders, so let's say you're 4-5. But then you're at the Ravens on Thursday night. They're not going to be able to tackle Derrick Henry.
Mm-mm.
That team can't tackle anybody. Then they're at the Chargers. Then it's the Steelers. Then it's the Cowboys. Like, they can only afford to probably lose, what, 2 more games?
Yep.
I do think 10-7 is going to get would get you into the playoffs. Like, I think you're probably going to see a 9-win team in the AFC make the playoffs this year. Like, it's a top-heavy conference.
Mm-hmm.
They can't lose more than 2 games. And you look at their schedule and you see the way they're playing, I think they're going to lose more than 2 games. I don't think they're making it.
Do they have a significant win that they've won? What's their record? 3-5. Like, what the wins? So we'd have to look through this right now. I don't know if their wins are that significant.
They lost to the Patriots.
Right.
They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Commanders, which looks better now with age. They beat the Panthers. They lost to the Ravens. They beat the Giants.
But, yeah, 17-7.
17-7. And they beat the Brownies last week when it was all
21-14. So, like, they're winning by a score.
And they won last week on the back of a kickoff return for a touchdown, which, hey, that counts. But that was the difference in the football game. Their offense didn't move it all that well against the Browns. So, are the Bengals finished? Well, mathematically, no, but mathematically it's very hard for them now. But just watch them play. They don't have the look of a good football team. They are what the record says they are, and I think people have been waiting for them to bounce back. I picked them to win the division. You were kind of down on them from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right on them. I mean, at best, they're an above-average football team, but they're not playing that way right now, and it's absolutely a two-horse race in the AFC North. Like, they are not winning the division, that much I'm sure of, and the Browns at 2-6, they're out of it.
Right.
So it's Steelers and Ravens.
Whose two losses look worse? Ravens or Steelers? Ravens losing to the Raiders and the Browns. Steelers losing to the Colts and the Cowboys. Whose losses are worse?
Good question.
You know? Because, I mean, you look at the Cowboys game. I mean, you lose by, you know, last score.
Right.
Under the wire.
You knock a pass down. You're sitting here at 6-1. Didn't happen.
Backup quarterback.
With the Colts.
Well, you.
Oh, right. With Justin Fields.
Right.
Yeah, he's their backup. Crazy.
Yep. I feel like the Ravens lost. Two losses are bad. Like that loss yesterday was bad. Like,
I don't
Raiders
know.
Lost bad at home.
Yeah, I can't believe that they lost to the Raiders at home, and now you lose to the Browns. And usually, and maybe this is anecdotal, but I always feel like when the Ravens are good, historically they kick the hell out of bad teams at home.
Right.
Their offense is special. There is no way you can take anything away from that unit. But we never see a Ravens defense this bad. And they had no answer for the tight end, Brock Bowers, in that Raiders game. And the Colts are kind of feisty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about the Dallas loss for the Steelers is that they didn't have Micah Parsons. They didn't have Lawrence.
True.
So that kind of hurts. And they threw it all over the place on you for 400-plus yards. So I'd still say the Ravens' losses are worse. But the Steelers' losses aren't great either. Are the Steelers better than the Ravens? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'd love for you to tweet us all morning long. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We got an injury report coming up next. A surprising addition over the weekend for the Steelers. A guy we thought we might see tonight. Maybe play considerable snaps. He's not going to play at all. Who? Why? We'll tell you. Injury to talk about. We'll do that in a moment. I think the Steelers match up well with the Ravens too, Dorn. The more I think about it. The Ravens want to run the ball, duh. And they got Derrick Henry. And stopping him is easier said than done. However, you just don't run on the Steelers. Steelers' rush defense has been great this year. And they take it away on the back end. And they're about to get help there too. Cam Sutton will be back and able to play after the bye. And I think the Steelers will be able to throw it on Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I realize it's Steelers-Giants game day, but just thinking out loud here with the way the Ravens looked yesterday, if Jameis Winston coming in on 1 week of practice can throw it all over the place with a banged-up Browns unit and a team that I don't think is all that good, then I think Russell Wilson can throw a little bit on those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So just peeking ahead a little bit. Steelers have the bye after this game. Then they get the Commanders. Then they got the Baltimore Ravens. As for the injury, Justin Fields, a hammy. He's not going to play.
Yep.
So you got the backup quarterback, Kyle Allen. And I actually thought we'd see Justin Fields in this game. We had talked to Bostic about that before. He didn't like the idea at least the first week. The Giants have been terrible containing the quarterback run. Now, if you brought in Justin Fields, you're kind of, I don't know, maybe telegraphing that you would have him running. It doesn't need to be that way.
No.
But I thought he would have some packages in this game. I mean, shoot, Joe Burrow had a 40-plus yard run on them down the sideline. Geno Smith, who's a decent runner but not a great runner, He had four carries for like 75 yards or something. So I thought quarterback run could be part of this thing with Justin Fields, but he's not going to play.
What about Russ?
I think Russ's legs will be in play tonight. I think we'll see more of that than we have.
Yeah.
Like he ran around to make plays down the field in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see him scramble except for one time, and he scrambled for 1 yard, which was good because he avoided a negative play. I do think his legs will be a big factor tonight.
Which is why that, you know, Russ is the type of player that he is that he can identify that as well. I mean, if we're talking about it, he understands if whenever he's watching the film that it's like, oh, okay, like instead of trying to get the ball down the field or trying to, you know, pop a check down, like if their backs are turned and I just run, like I do have lanes to actually legitimately run. And I think that he makes those executive decisions during the week whenever he does see that. So I would bet that Russ does use his legs. It's not going to be crazy as we're talking about, but like I think that whenever he does see that they're susceptible to the quarterback running, he will use his legs. Like anything that fits what can extend series, he'll do. And he's fast enough to do it, and he's quick enough to do it. He's not slow. He can do it. So I do think that we're going to see Russ use his legs a lot more forward than just him extending plays sideways and trying to find guys on the field tonight.
Yeah, I buy that. I mean, because there have been some not great running quarterbacks that have really run on these Giants. Another thing to pay attention to is they allow a lot of catches by running backs. So whether it's Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris, look for that in this game. And we know Russ is smart. He knows when to get the ball out of his hand. We know he's going to find the checkdowns. I've also loved the screen game from Arthur Smith. He seemingly picks the right time to call him. The Steelers have been bad at scheming up and executing screens for as long as I can remember. Apart from this year, I think they're doing a really good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be a factor in the game, too. Cordarrelle Patterson not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I was hopeful he would. It seemed like he might be trending that way. Then we find out this week, and he's not going to. I'd expect him back after the bye week.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't had their full complement of running backs at all at any point this season. Because Jaylen Warren, even game one, he clearly was a shell of himself. And then you saw Cordarrelle Patterson. He looked like their best offensive player against the Colts. They might win that game if he plays the whole game.
Yep.
He was that good.
Yep.
They might keep the ball. He was running with a head of steam. He's knocking dudes on their ass. So you should get him back after the bye week, but he'll be missing as well. He will not be playing. And this could have been a big game for him. Like I said, they allow a lot in the running back catching the ball game. The Giants aren't good.
No. They stink. They stink.
Their quarterback stinks.
Right. I mean, whenever you have a team that is debating on sitting your starting quarterback, then you're in a world of trouble. And especially if your starting quarterback is making $100 million. Like, you're debating on whether to sit him and play a backup. That's where the Giants are at. And they come out every week, oh, Daniel Jones, he's still our starter. He's still our starter. Like, you have to announce that. That you're in a bad spot.
This is an organization that's in disarray because the owner had to come out and kind of give the vote of confidence to their general manager and to Dable, their head coach. Like, we believe in these guys. They'll be back. That's never good. When you get the vote of confidence, generally that means something bad's coming up after that.
Did you see Ryan Clark, his podcast? He was sitting down with Saquon Barkley and that whole deal, too. I mean, that's where it started. I mean,
yes.
First of all, they just weren't ever going to really be a good football team. But you treat your best player like they did with Saquon Barkley and the whole conversation on Hard Knocks and things of that nature. And Saquon Barkley came out and talked about it. And you just knew that their managing of the team is just horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible. Saquon's probably so happy he's out of there.
Seems to be that he is, and he ran it up their backsides a couple weeks ago. They've given up a ton of long runs. I know they've given up 9 rushes of 30 or more yards, and we talked about their front seven either on the air or off the air today. I don't know. It's all
on.
It was on the air. Okay, very good. Yeah, I don't know that we're just breaking down X's and O's, the Giants off the air. I don't know that Najee Harris is that breakaway speed guy. I know that he had the best run of his career on that toss, and hey, maybe he makes me eat my words. He's more of a volume dude. We've seen longer runs from him than we're generally accustomed to. This is another Najee Harris game. Like, he's not Saquon. Very few are. I think the best two running backs going into the NFL right now are Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
Yep.
But If Najee Harris has a third consecutive 100-yard rushing game, I'm not saying you put him in the category with those guys, but he's top eight in the league, or at least he was going into the week, and he's having a really good season. And I'd like to see him get his third straight 100-yard rushing game. I think it's possible. There are yards to be had out there. Very funny moment yesterday in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up. Also, I've looked ahead to Pitt-SMU, and there's something that's got me perplexed, and you perplexed. We are perplexed. We'll get to that coming up. We've got a vibe check on a Monday coming up at 7. It's important for the Steelers to win, but also how the Steelers win. And we'll take your calls on that coming up at 7 o'clock on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
You know, someone sent it to me, so I just had to, you know, retweet that, give a little hand to the face. Like, come on, Pony. You know us better than that. I mean, he's been an honorary coach for a spring game. I thought he was more educated than he was, but, you never know.
Man, Pat Narduzzi going after Pony.
Got him.
Best pocket passer in the country, Kyle McCord, was going to end the dream season for Pitt. Said that they were going to win 31-30. Pitt scored 31 points in the first half.
Yes.
McCord threw 5 picks, 3 of which returned for touchdowns. Pitt moved up just 1 spot in the AP rankings, though Dan Mullen, who really good coach at Mississippi State, at Florida, he was the color commentator for the game. He has them 6th in his own personal rankings. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're going to get into the Steelers coming up again in about 9 minutes here for a vibe check at 412-928-9370. How are you feeling about Steelers-Giants? But right before bed last night, was looking at some of the spreads for next weekend's college football games, and I see that Pitt, a 7.5-point dog against SMU. Why? I don't get it.
I have no idea.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, zero sense. Maybe they're thinking that Holstein may be out. I have no idea. Traveling to, SMU, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I mean, SMU won by what? 1 point this past weekend against Duke?
That's right.
They're a good football team.
Sure.
But I don't know if they're a touchdown better than Pitt.
I don't think so.
Right now? The way that Pitt's defense is playing?
That's my thought exactly, buddy. Like, I was expecting to see SMU favored by 3 just because it's a road game.
Mm-hmm.
But to see 7.5, what do they know that we don't know?
Right.
Or maybe they don't know. I mean, every single week I see BYU as an underdog, and they just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. College football, it can be tough to pin down. I think Pitt's better than SMU. Like, if it were at Acrisure Stadium, I would have expected Pitt to be like a 5.5-point home favorite. So I don't get it. The travel thing, okay, fine, but West Virginia just went and played Arizona, right? And I was listening to their play-by-play guy do a podcast. They got home in 3 hours and 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour, 22-minute flight. The flight to Dallas can't be that long. You're going to be on it.
The same.
What's it matter? Like, you're getting on a plane. You're sitting there for 4 hours max. You're getting off a plane. You're playing a football game.
Right. I mean, the game's at night, too. So, I mean, if you want to take that, it's not like they have to, like, wake up. I know that there's a time change, I believe. I think it's an hour behind or something. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad that Pitt isn't getting the respect. I like that. Like, just keep overlooking them. Like, don't give them any respect. Don't let anybody know about them. And they could just keep winning and winning. And then once, it's all said and done, then, oh, wow, this Pitt team's pretty good. Yeah, they've been all year.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Keep ranking them. Move them up one spot to 18 from 19 after a win against a team that only had one loss and a quarterback that was, one of the top quarterbacks stat-wise in college football right now. And see what they did to him, and just keep underestimating him. It's fine. I'm fine with it. Get 6.5 points, whatever.
A lot of people were making fun of Kyle McCord after the game, and fair enough. He played a bad game. I think Pitt's defense had a little bit of something to do with that.
Yes,
the way that they played.
Yes.
So going on the road, 7.5 points. You're right, though. They gotta love this.
Oh yeah.
Dudes is probably walking up and down the hallway saying, first it was Pony who doubted us, and now it's Vegas.
Yep.
7.5? 7.5.
It's a lot.
7.5?
It's a lot.
And this is coming from me.
Right.
I mean, I'll take Pitt to cover that right now. Mm-hmm. Should have done it last night before that line moves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing the line moves. It might have something to do with Holstein. He's gonna be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yarnell's good anyhow. Like, here's the thing about Pitt. They've won these last two games, and you haven't seen the offense play like it did the first, what, five games of the season.
Right.
So that's the other thing, is that from a team standpoint, they're finding multiple ways to win. Their kicker's very good, maybe the best, probably the best in all of college football. If Holstein even comes close to playing like he did at the beginning of the year with now the way the defense is playing, that's a great football team. Like, if you put it all together, you can beat anybody.
And they also have 9 days to prepare for SMU. SMU played Saturday night.
Yeah.
And Pitt played Thursday. I mean, they have 9 days. They have a mini-ish bye. They got a lot of. They have extra days to get healthy. They have extra days to prepare and put in, you know, whatever defense they need to again. So this line is very, very confusing to me. It doesn't
even
worry me, though.
It.
You know, sometimes you look at it, you're like a little bit worried. You're like, why?
Yeah, what's
like
going
that?
On
what's
here?
What's happening? I'm not even like worried. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense to me. And I think that's a really good thing for you to point out, that they played Saturday night late, an overtime game.
Yep.
Pitt plays Thursday. That matters more to me than going to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay, you got to hop on a plane. Oh, my God, the schedule, the travel, it's so hard. To me, it's a much bigger pain in the ass for SMU.
Yes.
Because they have to fly home from Durham, North Carolina, and they only get a few Saturday to Saturday instead of Thursday to Saturday. I don't get it.
Mm-mm.
I don't get it. We'll break it down more as the week goes on. You think Pitt's getting undervalued in the AP?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good, though. That's fine. Doesn't matter.
I don't really care who you beat. If you don't lose, you haven't lost. I mean, I just... Like, is SMU good? Yeah, they've only lost one football game. Was Syracuse good coming in? Yeah, they'd only lost one football game. They're not a great team, okay, but they lost one game. So, I think Pitt's getting disrespected here in a number of different ways, but I think it aids them. I think that's the kind of thing Narduzzi absolutely loves. Maybe someone should denigrate the blue vase. Get that going, too.
Here we go.
Blue vase. Noah Hiles. All right. Coming up next, back to Steelers-Giants at 412-928-9370. We usually do this on Fridays. It's a fun Friday thing. You give us a call. How you feeling about the game with a vibe check? Will the Steelers win? Why will they win? Why might they lose? Are you nervous about this thing? How are the vibes? 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you all morning long, starting in about 5 minutes. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through JAM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.